Good morning. You're joining us on a Thursday with our political observer, Alan Chartok. But first, nothing really can happen for folks out there in the WAMC listening area without their support.
David, I know we keep repeating the urgency of this, but it is urgent. Now, the last time out, we made $300,000 in the lockbox, and that went a long way to shortening the fund drive. There is not, this time, the same kind of incentive in that there's nobody offering great amounts of money if we make it. On the other hand, we all know what this is about. This isn't about anything except keeping this thing going, and we can't do it without everybody participating. And that's the whole point. It could be $5. It could be $10. It could be $1,000. But if people turn their backs on what they love, there's always a consequence. And so we're asking everybody to put something in the lockbox, go to WAMC.org, and say, hey, WAMC, we love you. We're with you. We'll support you. It won't be much, but it'll be something. That's all we can ask. So look, folks, let's do it. Let's do it now. Let's get going. David?
WAMC.org. Well, Alan, 11 Republican presidential candidates took to the stage of the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in Simi Valley, California last night for a second primetime debate. Republicans, as predicted, used it to go after the leading candidate, Trump, and there was some substance.
There was some substance, but I tell you, David, what's important about this is that they're not doing themselves any good. They're just looking foolish. They talk about whether somebody insulted them, whether Trump insulted Jeb Bush's wife. You know, the point is that these people all know that they have to win a primary. And in order to win the primary, they have to play the old game we used to call battleship. They have to destroy each other. And it doesn't look good. It doesn't look like they are addressing the needs of the American people. It looks like they're addressing the needs of them to win a primary. And in order to do that, they've got to satisfy the far right who vote in these things. So it doesn't have the gravitas, it doesn't have the seriousness which it ought to have. And to personally insult each other is hardly the point of what is good for America.
There was also a pre-debate. You described it yesterday as the kids' table, and former governor of New York, George Pataki, on that panel. Could anybody from that group make it into the main group?
Anything could happen. The fact of the matter is Pataki has been all over the place saying that people will hear his message, and they'll hear it a lot easier because there are a lot fewer people at their children's table right now, and that they'll rise up as one and vote for him and make him president. You know, when you've been governor of New York three times, who's going to tell you you can't be president? It looks foolish from where I'm sitting. Very foolish. But stranger things have happened. Do I think it is in this case? Absolutely not.
How about this, Alan? Ex-convict and former mayor Joseph Ganim is declaring victory in the Democratic primary in Bridgeport, Connecticut. He had been attempting a political comeback after serving 7 years in prison on a 2003 corruption conviction for steering city contracts in exchange for hundreds of thousands of dollars in expensive wine, custom clothes, cash, and home improvements. And he's got the support of the police union.
And that's very funny. Put it this way, David, fool me once, as the old saying goes. You know, the idea that you got a prison, that they prove it, that they say you were on the take, that goes to what we call character, which is set very early in life. I'm so sorry. I'm sure everybody deserves another chance, but I sure wouldn't vote for him. And it is extraordinary that this is happening.
Speaking of extraordinary, flash floods, droughts, we're seeing these more extreme weather events. And as we watch the horror of people, including now a search for a missing boy in these flash floods in Utah, the constant ringing from the scientific community that this is an example of the changing climate.
I keep thinking of Superman's dad, Jor-El, as his planet blew up, and everybody made fun of him and stood by. And, of course, that's fiction, but this isn't fiction. You have a president of the United States who's trying to lead the way. You have people who are saying, no, this will interfere with business if we do it. It's not true. So you have the entire scientific community on one side, minus a few, you know, whatevers. And we can't seem to understand the urgency. And every day that we see more of this, we have to really scratch our heads and say, how come we just can't do what's in our own self-interest?